And your dad's name?
Bob.
Bob, would you like to lead the prayer? You're a fan. Okay. All right. We'd like to lift up Bob in prayer right now. Well, Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we lift Bob to you, Lord. You know his mental condition, you know his heart condition, and you know the condition of the family and the concerns of the family. Lord, we speak life into Bob's liver and his kidneys and to his blood work, Lord. We thank you that your breath of life is upon him and the spirit of life is upon him. And it is life that he wants, Lord, that may he reach out and receive it. May he give you the glory and the honor of saving his life and restoring his family to you, Lord. And we thank you for the testimony that will come out of Bob's own mouth of how when he asked, the Lord was there to deliver him, heal him, and make him whole again. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And for healing, just lift up Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick receives, believes, and teaches the scriptures, and him and Faith live on that. He never once accepted this illness. It's not his, and we just lift him up in prayer and to bind this spirit of infirmary that's upon him now and give him the strength just to go through it. Lord, we have no fear. We don't have a care. But we are concerned, Lord, and we know and release our faith for your restoration of Rick during this time. This morning's word is, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. That was prayer this morning, the Lord, well, word, one of the words. And after I did that, I'm looking out the windows, and I see all the fowl landing on the grass already picking. Mm-hmm. And the parable of the sower and the seed is when people hear the word of God and they don't understand it, it's the fowl, it's the devil that comes and try to sweep that away. So that's important because this teaching on words that Rick, we have been in now, I think this is week 20. Yep. Some of the lessons and some of the wording is so contrary to how we've been brought up. And it's a challenge. And some people take it as a chastisement. That's okay because we can learn. But by no way is it meant to offend anyone, but just to show them what we speak and what we can release. We have the power to release life or death with our words. And I'd like to do a demonstration. Can I get a volunteer? All right, Tyler. With one hand, hold these.
Okay.
This has a little bit more than just a word. In Ephesians, it says, when we're going to battle, put on the full armor. So, Tyler, lift up your arm. Both arms. God has declared us righteous. How do we declare the righteousness of God? By receiving him and all everything he has to say. So, it's a key. So, right now, Tyler, by receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, is putting on the breastplate of righteousness.
Wow. I hope you're not going to poke me.
350 for 45 minutes. A little salt. Priscilla, can I have you back here and just hold this up? And the breastplate of righteousness, you know, we have the shield of faith, which repels the fiery darts. The breastplate protects our heart. Why would we have that heart? Because usually it's the words we speak. So the words that we speak loose or bind. So right now we're going to do a demonstration of binding. So one arm. Yeah, okay, good with the other one then. Because that's something else. So when we speak words contrary, well, it depends. I don't know if Tyler is a good agent or a bad agent for the devil or for the Lord, but the words we speak can loosen or bind things in Tyler's life. So Tyler's learning the word. He's going in faith. Someone speaks some. Here, Priscilla, can you just stand behind?
Okay, maybe you need two volunteers.
I need two volunteers. So. So we don't fully understand the meaning of the word. And we don't want the fallacy coming in and taking that without understanding. So Tyler's on the way. He's learning, okay, you got to forgive your enemies and stuff like that. And someone says an evil word against him out of anger, ignorance, and it binds him. So now we're going to put your arm down there. And the more Tyler tries to do, you know, more and more words are spoken over his life. Okay, now he's getting bound. and still more getting bound.
Wow.
And then Tyler, these are cares. So why don't you stick one of the cares right in there? Just one. Just all of them.
One of them?
Yeah, just one. No, just one. Priscilla's going to give you. So now Tyler now has cares and concerns. And rather than leave them at the cross, he puts them right in there. Now he's further getting bound. Not by the words, but now not only by his words, people's words, but now by cares. Now a friend, Priscilla, comes along and has a care. Tyler, take care. And he just dumps a care right on top of Tyler. And now, and you get the picture, he's going to be wrapped up. And in bondage. Could start with the heart. Question the Lord, right? Looks so good on you.
Yeah, right.
Are you warming up?
Oh, yeah.
Got the steam.
Yeah, right.
So his heart's affected. Then his hands are immobilized because he's not doing ministry. Then his feet are immobilized, and he's in total bondage. Opposite principle, person's in bondage. Words of life are spoken over them. Right? Starts to believe. The cares, which once he thinks are his, gives back to Jesus, or Priscilla. All right? Becomes free. So, we can loose or bind. And the process of loosing and binding can be as slow as testing the Lord, like, I don't believe that. I don't believe some of the words that I've been taught over the last 19 words are hard. Not that I don't believe. They were hard words to understand because we've done it that way. That's all I know. But we were put in a bondage, and you say, well, that person put me in bondage. I don't agree with you. But when your eyes have, when the Lord reveals to you the truth and the power of his word, this starts to unravel. And you can do this as slowly as you want and be basting, much like Tyler, getting cooked, or if that revelation hits you in the heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and all the words of God are pure, it breaks that bondage. We can put the devil and bind the devil and the workers of iniquity by the same principle. Speaking godly, faith-filled, believing these words over the circumstance and believing in Jesus Christ. The enemy on the same hand is going to come right back at you saying, no, that's not going to work, causing doubt and fear. That is the importance of what we speak. We can bind and loose at the same time. We want to bind the influences of the enemy. We want to loose the powers of heaven in our lives.
Right.
And when we speak it, believe it. Mm-hmm. That's the word, the visual demonstration. Thank
Carol's
you, Tyler.
Carol's going to be mad at you, man. Plastic wrap.
We won't recycle this.
Yeah.
God never recycles. Everything's renewed.
Yeah, right.
So, a pot. So, will you give a word?
Oh, yeah, Carol's plastic wrap.
Okay.
No,
I know.
Perfect.
But at times a picture's worth a thousand Amen. Words. And this morning when the fowls were on the grass, it was just a reminder. The words, the teaching, and that's what this is, a teaching of words is so important and powerful in our walk. What we want to loose and bind. And we have the power and the authority of the name of Jesus to do so. Or we can have doubt and allow the enemy to have that power and authority. Because after all, he is the prince of the air here on the earth. So, all right. Thank you for being a willing participant. I'd like to just continue with the common theme that's been spoken by the Holy Spirit this morning. Be blessing, glory, and honor forever. Each time that we've been gathering, we come simply asking of the Lord. this morning. The Word's been to breathe on us, to speak to us, not at us, to us, and to teach us. And Father God, I just want to thank you for this morning, Lord, and for the words that have been spoken by the congregation this far, and that we come with an attentive ear to hear from you, your will for our lives. And Father God, if you, as Barbara mentioned, have been silent, Lord, may we work out that gift of patience to bear through, to see what you have install for us. Rick called up last night. He's such an encourager. He said, would you be ready? And I said, yes. And I'm not boasting on my own merits, except earlier in the morning, I had sent out a letter, some observations, and he said, that'd be good to discuss. And it was I was flying. When Carol got home, I was wide awake, like, wow. Word of encouragement. I had written something, and pastor said, that'd be good for a sermon. You should go with that word. Like, wow, thank you. Yeah. And that's the edification of the body. Unlike Tyler this morning, I wasn't bound. I was loosed. And there's such a wonderful spirit here in this family that we all have been loosed to try and to step into your calling. Mm-hmm. Regardless of it's talking, preaching, teaching, healing, the various ministries that are represented in this house that some of us don't even know, and they go do it because that's what they're doing. But there's freedom to do that, to try. And there's never a mistake. There's never a shortfall. And we may think that, but you're honoring the Lord with your lives, and you're stepping out. And that fragrance, now we talk about fragrance of praise, but when we enter missions work, ministry work, that's fragrance to the Lord. He has freed us from a captivity and a debt we can never pay. And rather than spending our time saying, woe is me, I'm unworthy, we're doing something out of his love that's installed in us. And yes, our hearts cry out to the people that are lost. And we just ask the Lord to show us how to be more effective. Not for any of our merit, but for his glory. That for eternity, that person that's currently lost, we may share eternity with them, not exclude them. So Father God, I just dedicate these words to you, Lord, and may it reach the ears that you would have be reached this morning. I said several years ago when I was in a heated debate about religion, politics, and morality. 0-3. Yeah. 0-3. And the Holy Spirit said, I don't need you to defend my name. Speak my word. There are religions that if you offend their God, they go crazy. They're going to kill you. We're infidels. Isn't their God big enough to take care of himself? Seriously? Seriously, is God offended if someone uses his name in vain? He'd prefer we not to. But Jesus said that the thing, we can blaspheme Jesus' name, but don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The movie Noah, the churches are in uproar. It may not meet their definition of the Bible. I haven't seen a church reach that many people about the Bible. People who may have never even read Scripture are being exposed to the story of Noah. And quite frankly, that day I came in this building 13 years ago with a heart against Jesus, and the Holy Spirit broke through that moment and pinned me against that door, I know there's a God. So I shouldn't be offended. People go and see a movie, they might be led astray. That same Holy Spirit that spoke to me and every person in this house will speak to the people. Jesus said, who's not against you is for you. We're not the only ones, okay? So, they invited me to speak, but I didn't go there to the intention to speak at a men's meeting. Oh, go back to this. It goes, so when I got this word that speak my word, I asked for forgiveness. And this is a scripture I was using. It was Proverbs 30, verse 5. Carol, you don't have to pull this up. You don't have to pull up anything. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. So in his heated debate, rather than getting to all his other issues, spoke scripture. Quite frankly, they don't believe. That's okay. I spoke his word. Gave him the opportunity. The discussion became like that poor little island, and the man on the island of Fuji that's never been evangelized. Is he going to hell? Well, that's not the point. The point is you've received the word. It's your responsibility to do something with it. Don't be concerned about some really extraneous circumstance of who's receiving the word of God or not. You've been given the word. It's your responsibility to go with it. My job was done. Got out of the politics, got out of the religion, got out of the morality issue. This is the first scripture the Lord had me share. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men were among you for your sake. So the scripture doesn't just come in the word. It comes in power and the Holy Spirit and assurance.
Is
the scripture? Oh, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Yes, I can read it again. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men were among you for your sake. What manner of men? What manner of men? For 26 years, Faith and Rick have led ministry, been involved in ministry. What manner of men are the men that live their lives according to Scripture? They're going through the same circumstances, trials and tribulations that we all go through, and we look, and what are they doing? They're standing on the Word. Amen. Thick or thin. So when Rick and Faith have an opportunity to share the gospel, it's not by some guy pumping out of a Cracker Jack box or saying, oh, Jesus, God is good, Jesus loves you. They've been through it. Cal and I have been through it. Each of us have been through that. We've been tried through the fire of experience of the world. And when we speak, that gives us credibility of what we're going through. When those people are so addicted to pornography, tell me, I don't have a clue of what they're going through. And I said, oh, really? And told them my own chains. I was invited to Hollywood to produce. And they go, wow, you? It gives credibility to what I'm saying, but it's the word I want to share with them. It's just my life and where I was delivered from that they can make that attachment. And I do it for their sake. Rick and Faith do it for our sake. The pastors, the evangelists do it for those people who they're ministering to, not for them. If they boast upon themselves, I don't believe it's the right message. They speak from experience to talk about the truth of the gospel. And the gospel comes in power, the Holy Spirit, and much assurances. So at the meeting, I asked if those would be, that would be the prayer, if they would agree to 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Would they be in agreement that the gospel came to them, not just in word, but with power and with the Holy Spirit and much assurances? And they agreed. And the reason I asked that, because that was a teaching. That was a teaching on Matthew 18:19. And this is Jesus saying, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. So we ask the body to be in agreement to receive our gospel, not only in this word, but in power in the Holy Spirit with much assurance. And they did. And this was the scripture that the Holy to be spoken to that body at that day. And I pray for it to be spoken and received here. Zephaniah 3:19.
behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, that means stopped, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame.
Amen.
The moment those words were spoken, three men broke down and cried. Because we further testified, today is that day. Today is the day the Lord will undo all that afflict you. And the reason why we had people be in agreement with Matthew 19, because they were in agreement as to touching anything, and it'd be done for them, for the fathers in heaven. They agreed to receive. And they received. I don't know what their prayer request was. I didn't know what they were doing. I just knew some of the men from the previous time that they are back in the same city where they were previously addicted to drugs, gangs, and violence. They're back in the same neighborhoods preaching Jesus Christ with a boldness where before they were victims. They were the ones in shame. They were in the bondage. They were afflicted by things of the world. And that day, whatever they were doing for ministry, whatever they have done until that point, I think is always a point that we're really not sure. Am I delivered from eternal death? Lord, am I separated from you? I'm doing all these works. Do I know? How do we ever know? Well, we ask in his revelation of the Holy Spirit, but his word tells us, all who will call upon the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. Now that word comes in power and in the Holy Spirit in much assuredness. And when those men broke down, they received. I believe that at that time that the covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ for their lives, I believe they had that revelation. Yes, they are. They are saved. They will sit with him in heaven. And what they're doing is satisfying the Lord. It's not a comparison of me versus them. Oh, what level of degree? I got to get that shrink wrap here. Okay. The words I spoke then, I speak here to the congregation to encourage you to enter fellowship with the greater body of Christ. And Barbara, you said that early this morning. If you had more time, you would do that. The Lord is raising up so many people doing so many things, and the people that testify it, it's they only give the glory and honor to God because they know it's not of them. And at times when I have the opportunity to travel around, I feel like I'm a roving reporter, like for a Holy Scripture Journal or something, just to share what's happening. At this meeting was a young couple, mid-20s, and they're rescuing girls involved with the sex trade, where they've been kidnapped, the sex trading, in Hartford, Connecticut. It was a burning desire to do something. No training. Nothing except that burning desire. And they went to the Lord. They didn't go to the police. You know, they did talk to the pastor. They talked to other people who had similar desires. Because people, we all talk. And they said, we don't know what to do. But this is something. How can God honor our country when we're murdering babies and we're selling our children off? And anyway, there was a burden. So we talked earlier about having our cares. But they took that burden to a burning desire. And the Lord just directed them. They prayed. They started praying over the hotels and motels where this activity has been noted. People have noticed. They all know what's happening, but they don't do anything. The owners of the hotels are concerned that they're going to lose money because it's a very lucrative financial proposition for them. They prayed for the police department to have an awareness, and they do. So people all know, but no one was doing anything. It's a problem. It's a problem. They were confessing. They were loosening the problem, not binding the problem. And this is what this couple did. They bound. and now they're in hotels rescuing girls. They're not busting down the doors. They're praying over the hotels, and the hotel owners or employees are notifying the police that the pimps are there with the girls, and girls are being delivered. It's a ministry that blows my mind. I cannot comprehend that type of bondage in people's lives. And here's an everyday normal couple, burdened and prayed, turned that burden over to the Lord, and they're equipped. So it's like there's no comparison. And the other couple, now these are now 20 years, they said 20-year-old children who grew up in the Lord, rebelled, and now they're back at a very young age. And a man said, he just started talking to people his age about the Lord. He goes, "You adults don't get us. You don't get us. And if I came to minister to them, forget it. The language is different. Our perspective is different. Our worth ethic is different. Everything is different." And the Holy Spirit said, "Go to Walmart." I think I shared this a couple weeks ago. And he went to Walmart, and there was a girl with a sign saying free prayer. And her and her sister do praise and worship music. So they started a meeting in the basement. And that's all they were doing, praying. And people their age started coming in. They have 150 people coming into a basement praising the Lord. And it's not just for the coffee and the music. They're discipling. And what was their prayer? "Lord, we're a hurting generation." There was a confession. "We're hurting. We need help. We know it's not in the world. It's not the drugs, not the alcohol, it's not the fast cars, not the faster women. It's we need something and we need you." And that's the only message. And that's a message that these young adults want. They've been through this. They've done through the drugs and the alcohol and the fast life. And the Holy Spirit's leading them. Leading them. So the prayer is that we get involved with the larger body of Christ. Not to fill our time with going to endless meetings. Be involved with ministries that have been appointed and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know what that is, or even consider that, pray. If there's an emptiness in your life and you have a burden for something and it's really bothering you and no one's doing it, it's usually an indication the Holy Spirit is appointing you to do something, either just to share it, do a newsletter, whatever it happens to be in your realm. Or allow him to lead you to a ministry which matches your heart. Like I said, this is not to fill up your time. This is not telling you to get up off the couch and do something if you're not directed to do that. In doing so, and if you're able or unable, it's irregardless, would you pray for God's perfect peace in these ministries? Pray for their marriages. Pray for a hedge of protection around them and those people who come into ministry. The devil doesn't want to lose any of his disciples, and he will do whatever it needs to do to try to get them back. Pray for the laborers to come. We may be the laborer for another ministry. And pray for the fulfillment of their ministry. And this is a call to remind us of Ephesians 4:11-13. And Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification and for edifying the body of Christ." That's what God is calling us to do. And this, where we are gathered today, is one of these areas where the atmosphere is an atmosphere of nurturement, encouragement to do that, to test out your call. Verse 13 says, "Till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ." Since we're in such a fertile ground to grow it doesn't just grow haphazardly. It is that we have been watered with the Word of God. The Word is, Word is taught over being preached. Rick has a very nice spirit about teaching something. It entices you. You can accept it for what it is at face value or faith, or you're challenged to check it out. And when you, like the Bereans did, they checked the Word against the Scripture. This is a wonderful atmosphere where you can dig into the Word, raise questions up, and ask each other, is it true? Does it work? I've never come across this before. Or people testify it. That's one of the nicest things about testimony, sharing what God has done in our lives, proving that His Word is true and it works. So we're fed with the Word. We know the Word versus the false doctrine. We're given an opportunity to grow at our own pace. You're not forced to enter a ministry. You're not forced not to enter a ministry. If you want to come up and sing, you have the opportunity. If you want to come up and share, do a sermon, do a teaching, to open up a women's group or a men's group, you have that freedom. And we have that secureness about that, that we're like in an envelope. We're being protected, that you can step out. When we go out into the mission field, when we go outside the four walls of the church, when we go in back into our families at home in a work environment, we're equipped. And we don't have to be bashful about the gospel. You can speak it out from your own life experience and knowing the Word is true, that you experience it for yourself as known to be true. And if you don't know it to be true, you can always pray for the revelation knowledge and experience, Lord, I need help with this. I really can't wrap my head around this thing called faith. I'm looking at a circumstance where my mind already knows the answer, and you're asking me to believe your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me with that. Help me with my unbelief. Help me with my disbelief. And that's mentioned several times in Matthew when the people came up for healings. They wanted to believe, but they couldn't. So, but all of, in summary, what the message, the ongoing message is that we're coming seeking the Lord, or asking the Lord to speak to us, and He is. And you're growing individually and corporately. He's doing this to prepare us for the day when these doors open up, and the hurting people in the area are going to be flooding in. They're going to be terrified that things have been cut off for them. The things that they put hope and their trust in with the government and their own strength and their own ingenuity and their own prowess is going to experience a hiccup. And the things that they cling to have disappeared and where they go to. And through your lives and interacting with the community, you have something. You have a stability. You have a faith. Yeah, we blow it at times, but we're not looking at that. We're looking at the progression of your walk with the Lord a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, to where you are now. Now, people are going to ask you, what is it? And quite frankly, it's not the church building, because you are the church. Is that at one time, you were lost. And whatever brought you to the Lord, that put you on your knees or in a position of brokenness, and you asked, are you alive? Do you really care about me? Do you know me? And Jesus Christ was right there. That's the testimony that will change the community when they come. In the meanwhile, they're doing their own thing. Like it says in days of Noah, they were marrying, partying, they're doing commerce. That day is coming when people are going to be drawn to the church. I pray it's not just because of the spirit of fear. I pray before then the Holy Spirit starts bringing people in because of His love. But when that day comes in, when people come in with syringe needle scars in their arms and the tattoos and smelling of stale beer, or just dirty clothes, we're not to look at that. We're to welcome them in as you welcome me in 12, 13 years ago. with the love of Christ. And that's what more and more people are looking for. They're looking for a love they can depend upon, that they can rely upon, and know it is real. And that's the love of Jesus Christ. And that's the same love that's in each and every one of us. So what the Lord would say is, do not look at your deficiencies. Look at my abundance. Receive the love, my love, the love of Jesus Christ. Receive and enter fully, fully enter into the covenant relationship that is sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, my son. Trust in the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will guide you in all truths. Do not be alone when the Holy Spirit searches your heart. And in doing so, this is the choice. Would you release from your lives, your thought pattern, your heart, things which hold you back from a deeper walk with me, says the Lord? The bondage of hurtfulness, hate, violence, the things of the past are easily left at the cross of my son. My sons and daughters, you have been fully forgiven when my son died on the cross at Calvary. His blood was spilled for you. And on that day, I will undo all that afflict thee. And if today is the day for you to receive the undoing of all that afflict you, just raise your hand. We can pray for you individually or as a body to join in with agreement that these things, these afflictions, are undone in your life. In the name of Jesus, we pray.